Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Islanders win the draw. Pageau, a point-a-game player in the playoffs, moves it back for Dobson. His shot patted down by Rask. They score! Travis Ajak on the rebound! And the Islanders are off and running.
It's BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski on the BetQL Audio Network.
I felt like that was quick, Ronj. Now we're already down to the Final Four with a bit of a different setup. You know, it doesn't quite work that way, but it just feels like it was a quicker ramp up. And I thought for sure I was dead wrong on that one with that Colorado Vegas series. Once Vegas came back and they take game 3 and 4, you figured, okay, this one's destined for 7. I don't think anyone was like, yeah, the VGK is going to reel off 4 consecutive games here.
I certainly did not think that at all. That's just incredible. Yeah. And I can't believe we're again talking about Colorado bounced in the second round. They are so much better than this, or at least I thought.
Yep. Sorry, everyone listening on the Bet 1430 in Denver. Rough playoffs for both sports. They had high hopes at one point for both teams this season. And it looks like it's going to end poorly for the Nuggets as well. After the Murray injury, everything else they've been dealing with, that one won't be as much of a surprise. Joe Ostrowski, Chris Ronji, this is BetQL Daily on the BetQL Audio Network. And Sony Banks is a regular on this show. He's a pro sports bettor, and he really specializes in hockey. You can find him on Twitter at So Money Sports. And Sony, we'll get to the Stanley Cup semis and the betting angles, the prices that are out right now for us to get down on. But just as a big hockey fan, with the different setup this year, after many people were saying it's going to be a chalky postseason, well, it hasn't really gone down like that. You've got Vegas against Montreal, a 2 against a 4, then Tampa against the Isles, a 3 against a 4. As a fan of the sport, what do you think about the 4 teams we're left with?
I think it's great. I mean, I think that you have a situation where you have Montreal and Vegas playing in the, I guess you can call it the semifinals, where you just wouldn't see that in the normal format. So getting different matchups, I think, is good. And it was a nice little twist to have the Canadian teams play each other in the first round. We did end up with the Islanders and the Lightning here, which we had last year as well. But I've enjoyed the format. I've liked the playoffs. A lot of times when teams this year, they did play a lot against each other, but a lot of times when teams aren't familiar with each other, like what we're going to see when the Habs and Knights series, I think that there could be some surprises there.
Well, let's talk about Colorado, the post-mortem here, I guess. Why did this happen to them? Because that is by far, I thought anyway, going into the playoffs, I thought they were the best team. They clearly, for me anyway, had been building the momentum over the last few years to get to this point, and now they're bounced again in the second round. What happened there, and how do they fix it moving forward?
So I do agree with you that I thought that Colorado was the best team in the league all throughout the season. What we saw here is that after the first game, you saw Colorado kind of run it up on Vegas. That could be attributed to Vegas coming off a long series, probably not finding their legs in time. But something changed in the middle of game two. And what I noticed there was that what Vegas started doing was they really started clogging up the neutral zone. They really started taking away Colorado's speed on the back end. Colorado thrives on being able to generate speed through the neutral zone. That is when they can generate off the rush. That's when they create not just offensive opportunities, but also get the other team into penalty troubles. And with after game two, we saw the power plays really go down for Colorado as well. It's not so much that the team was reliant on the power play in the season, but that was a big part of their game. So, and we saw that in the first round as well. Now, Colorado was not able to make that adjustment. Vegas was just able to take the space away, take the time away, clog up the neutral zone. And in a seven-game series at this point of the season, you are who you are. You're not going to be able to just flip the switch and just change your game out of nowhere. And Colorado was just not able to do that because that's not their game. So going forward, I'm generally averse to making wholesale changes after playoff losses when you know you have an elite team. So I don't think that Colorado needs to panic per se, but I do think that they need some defensive depth in the back end, and they need to find a way to hopefully replace what Nazem Kadri was bringing them as well. That ended up being a big loss for them in the series, and I think that those are the two things that they need to be looking at in the offseason.
With ProBettor, Sony Banks at So Many Sports on Twitter. This is BetQL Daily, Joe Ostrowski and Chris Ranji. Well, let's start with Vegas. When discussing the Final Four, we have a series price. The Knights are minus 400 against Montreal. Minus 400, the Canadiens, plus 315. Let's talk this out. What interests you as far as a series price or anything else? Games played, series spread, exact outcome. What are we doing?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the series price really caught my eye this morning. Obviously, Vegas should be the heavy favorite, but I don't think that this series is going to be as straightforward as many people think. I'm not saying that Montreal is going to win this series, but I think that they're really going to give Vegas a run here. So I think that +1.5 in the series price, I think might be a way to look. The other thing too is that I expect that series price to keep going higher on Vegas. I think that Montreal is just going to become a bigger dog. One thing that stands out to me in this series is that we saw Vegas as more so nearing the end of the last series where they just were able to break down Colorado. They just immense pressure. Colorado started getting leaky on the back end. Turnovers, they started getting goaltending that wasn't up to par for them. I don't think we're going to see that in Montreal. They have strong goaltending that we've seen. They also have strong team defensive play. So, and Montreal knows coming out of the Toronto series that they know kind of how to clog things up. So in this series, I'll be looking at low-scoring games. I do think that Montreal has the ability to kind of ugly it up, which they're going to need to do. I do think that Vegas will prevail in the end, but I don't think that is going to be a quick series or as straightforward as we would think.
Yeah, these two teams here have two of the best goaltenders in the entire playoff bracket, you know, going back to the start of the playoffs here. I'm wondering how you assess goaltending generally now, because the teams that, well, I mean, Winnipeg, for example, had probably the best goaltender throughout the regular season. They're out of the playoffs right now. Vasilevsky was probably the second best. You can make that argument in the regular season. They are still in. So when you're looking at these teams, how much does goaltending factor into it? And if the goaltending happens to be the strongest aspect of the team, is it a dangerous play to go with those teams?
So I always joke with my colleagues that series to series, goaltenders are just weird. It's really tough to get a handle on goaltending for the most part once you eliminate like a top tier guy like Vasilevsky, who you know what you're gonna get every series. When I'm looking at goaltending, it's really tough because I have my goaltending ratings and I know kind of who I value, who I may value more than the market or less than the market. And it's really tough to just look at goaltending. In a series like the Montreal-Vegas series, what I'm looking at more is the Canadiens' team defense. Because at the end of the day, you can have the best goaltender, but if you are breaking down in front of him, like what we saw with Grubauer in the Colorado series, it's just not going to matter. Even though these teams have strong goaltending, they both also have the ability to play strong team defense as well. So I think those two things need to go hand in hand. You just can't have strong goaltending without strong team play. So I think that you do get in trouble where you rely too much on goaltending, which is what we saw in the Winnipeg-Montreal series with Connor Hellebuyck, who is, in my opinion, the second best goalie, but the team was breaking down in front of him. So to a point where it just doesn't matter anymore how good you are. So I think that team defense and goaltending need to go hand in hand.
The Lightning and Islanders start on Sunday. Tampa Bay -250, New York Islanders +205. For the series price. How are we attacking this?
So I'm going to have a tough time with this series, only because talent-wise, Tampa Bay's loaded on the top end. They have the better goaltending, obviously, and they have that playoff experience, which once you start getting later in the playoffs, I do think that it's tough to quantify, but I do think that it does start mattering at this point. So when I look at this series, one thing I've learned is that you don't want to just write off Barry Trotz. In my opinion, he is the best coach, and coaching matters as well, especially once we get to this point. I think that Tampa Bay, I'm hesitant to say that Tampa Bay is going to win this series, but I think that eventually they will prevail, but I don't like that series price. I do think that there is value on the New York Islanders at that series number. And I think that this is another series where it's really going to tighten up, in my opinion. Tampa Bay took them in five last year. I don't think we're going to see that. I think that this should be a long series.
So, I mean, as far as any underdogs go, you're saying that's probably the best bet, because I don't know, for some reason here, I'm really liking Montreal, and maybe that's just personal bias. I would like to see them win a Stanley Cup. I feel bad for Canada. I want to see them get a cup, right? So at +315 to win that series, you're saying that's probably not the best bet here.
Yeah, I think that if you wait a little bit, then that number is going to get higher. And I think that it will get to a point in the next couple of days where before that series start, where I think that it might be worth betting Montreal. But at this number right now, I don't see it. I think that if you wait a little bit, it'll get there.
What about outrights and Conn Smythe? You say the Islanders have a chance in the series, so it sounds like at 6-1, maybe that's worth a shot. And Conn Smythe award, any interest at this point?
Yeah, so I think that the Islanders at 6-1, and also once Montreal gets to where the market wants them to be, I think that Montreal as a Stanley Cup might be something to look at as well. In the Conn Smythe, if you're high on Montreal to win the cup, or you feel that there's value on them winning the cup, you have to look at Carey Price as a Conn Smythe winner. And the other one too, I don't think there's any value left on Vasilevskiy. But we're just halfway through the playoffs. It seems like it's been going on for a long time, but
I know.
Right. So whatever we've seen up to this point, when you look at Tampa Bay, Vasilevskiy is their current Conn Smythe winner, but there's still two series left. So if you look at Kucherov, might be someone that you want to look at as well. And then on the Golden Knights side, Mark Stone would be the guy that you're looking to target there.
Gotcha. Sony Banks at So Many Sports on Twitter, Pro Sports Better. He's great with the hockey, so pay close attention to everything he said if you plan on betting the Stanley Cup semis. Lightning bets are next. Ostrowski and Ranji on the BetQL Audio Network.